help you down?
No, thank you.
Table's a mess. Crumbs, ash, coffee stains, chimp's picnic. If you're happy with
it... All right.
What kind of people are they? Leave this mess. What do you think?
People, just people.
People? Animals closer to it. Hang 'em up, I say.
Isn't that a little extreme?
Death is too good for 'em.
I see. That's interesting.
Now, my manageress, she is extreme. She thinks that people who sit at a table for hours and don't bother to buy a tea should have their fingers sliced off at the joints. I think she goes too far.
I've had tea.
One cup.
Who's counting?
She is. And you don't look so chipper.
I'm very well. And tell her that I would have thought that my presence in this rather rudimentary ABC would add a certain dash.
Can you eat dash? Can you bank it? That will be her line of inquiry.
If you don't value my...
It isn't me. That's what I'm saying.
Whoever, if my presence is not valued for what it is worth...
Sorry, what was it again?
Dash.
Oh, yeah.
I stand, after all said and done, as a reminder that there is life after obloquy.
Who could argue with that? Not me.
You've wiped the table?
Yes.
Then perhaps...
I'll be gone.
Yes?
I'll notice your friend isn't here.
No, that's quite right.
Am I right in thinking she's been absent for quite a few days?
I really couldn't tell you.
6 weeks.
Is it really?
That could explain why you don't look so chipper.
And have you now gone into medicine? You diagnose your customers' complaints while emptying their ashtrays?
Only trying to help. You want to take up a pastime. Ever think of bowls?
Never.
Oh, you should. Nice green grass, cut just so.
If you wouldn't mind.
The pleasant back and forth of undemanding chit-chat. Perhaps you and my mum could form a duo on the greens. What do you think?
Most of my evenings are taken up.
It's up to you.
Yes, it is.
Hope your friend arrives.
Dear God.
A lit room.
Yes.
Or apparently.
The mystery of light.
I could broaden the windows, take out the lead.
No.
You don't think so?
I should leave the lead, that's all I'm saying.
You're right. The view isn't much.
I didn't say that.
Kiss me, Polly. For luck. Oh, how much luck can I expect from that?
It's all you're getting, Robert.
A straight-talking woman, very attractive.
You'll be happy here.
I will be, if you visit.
I'm going.
Are you?
I'm going to work.
The truth is, it's dingy here. Cramped. Dingy. Ugly.
You're wrong.
It's all I can afford.
Yes. Have you seen my place?
I've yet to be invited.
Well, let me tell you, that is small.
Yes. Our little caves. You know where my brother lives? In a castle. That is not a... He lives in a castle. You think I'm making this up? He owns Birmingham and a good deal of Edgbaston thrown in. Why? Because he was born 2 hours before me. Twins, you see. And because of that, he is Lord Brocklesby. And I am Mr. de Genneville, resident of this... What did you say it was? Nice?
It's probably love, is it?
You've lost me.
Your friend. That's what's keeping her.
Did you say bowls?
She's most probably got someone tucked away. And when it happens, well, old friends find themselves deserted. So, are you looking for a replacement?
In what sense?
With your cases. With your crime busting. Your detection work.
No.
You want to throw some ideas at me? I could be the one.
I'll bear it in mind.
I'll keep my eyes open. Here's an example. I'm reading a case in the paper. This woman, let's call her Miss X, does a bit of bed and breakfast in the Midlands. Okay so far?
To be frank with you...
This will take you minutes. She has this fellow stays at her place, respectable. Well, I say respectable. He's a lawyer, and how many of them are straight?
Oh, yes, you have a point there.
Now and again, he comes down here to London, business, sometimes without warning. For which purpose he keeps a portmanteau packed, ready to go. So, 3 weeks ago, a man turns up at her place with a card, the lawyer's card, and says how he's been asked to collect the lawyer's clothes and take them to the station so he can catch the late evening train to London. Out goes the portmanteau. 3 weeks now, she's heard nothing from him.
He's probably run off with his secretary.
Your guess? Answer me this, then. Why does everyone think he was the one who murdered Robert de Genneville?
Thanks for coming to see me off.
Robert!
Yes?
Robert!
What? Well, I know. Don't go, hmm? Don't see your brother. Don't crawl.
No, it wasn't that.
Polly, I have a case in law. A man I met, a lawyer. I'm assured that I may approach my brother either face to face or in a court of law and question the document that keeps me from my inheritance. That's what it is. If you knew you had money, a large amount of money, it was yours, but by some hair-splitting medieval law you were kept from it, how would you feel?
It isn't that I don't understand how you feel.
That look, it's pity in your eyes.
No!
Yes, it is. Poor Robert.
No!
An unattractive man without money.
No, that isn't it.
Well, perhaps. I think when I come back you'll see. I was right. And, Polly, I won't mind. I won't mind!
Oh, my God.
What?
De Genneville?
Ed Batter to a Pope.
I never read that.
In the paper?
I never read it. I don't know where she is.
Your friend?
De Genneville?
Yes, in Birmingham. They reckon his brains were all over the wall. I mean to say...
The man Polly is seeing it.
Who?
De Genneville.
Dearest Polly arrived in Birmingham. A light drizzle at New Street. The fortune I seek may be a dream, but I believe I have a right to it. History is like this city, a memory obscured by dense cloud. Let us live our lives in the present. I would claim what is mine. I think of you, darling, your angel face. I see my brother later today.
She'll come here.
Well, not necessarily.
She'll come, she will.
How do you know that?
She needs you. Ain't that plain?
I have never amounted to anything. Can you imagine what that is like for a man? Can you imagine what a burden to carry? This is my chance. Polly, I feel I will return triumphant. And then you will see me transformed, and then you will deal with a new man, a Robert de Genneville you have not seen before, a man worthy of your respect and even of your love. I have done with failure. I have come for what's mine.
Duties.
Polly! I know.
What?
I'm very sorry.
Yes.
I'm so glad you came.
I didn't know where...
Cry.
What?
Cry if you want to. I believe it's normal.
I don't want to.
No, but if you'd like to.
I don't want to. No tears.
But a lot of anger.
Perhaps. I didn't love Robert. He rather thought he'd love me. I would have told him, but now I can't. I feel nothing but a sea of ice, as though I've been plunged into water so cold that my heart feels pinched, contracted.
You hadn't told him that?
No. And now he's dead and I can't cry. What's wrong with me?
You'll write to me.
I'm busy.
What?
I'm very busy.
No, promise. Promise.
I promise. I didn't write.
But he wrote to you.
Oh, yes.
Dearest Polly, my lawyer Beddingfield has just left. Stuffy man, but I think efficient. I believe he has come up with an argument which I hope my brother will see, and then we may avoid the unpleasant rigours of the courts. Before I knew you, travel provided a kind of relief, but that was before I had formed an idea of home. For the first time in my life, I am homesick. A complicated way of saying I miss you. how we stumble over words in letters that in life our actions would express so much better. Sleep tight, my love. Dream of me.
Tell me about Beddingfield.
The police say that he killed Robert.
And you?
It's a game, isn't it? It started.
What has?
I was desperate to find you, and now I'm not sure why.
You've had a shock. Someone you know has died violently.
I know all that.
Well, why do you call it a game?
For you, a game?
No. Tell me.
Beddingfield.
Yes?
A lawyer who had convinced Robert that he had a claim to his brother's inheritance. A solid claim. Robert was excited, felt it would work some miracle.
And you?
He was a lawyer. In the nation's checklist of people they most despise, lawyers won a close second to journalists. No, no, no miracle worker. Just another greedy little man.
Not someone, then, who commands your wholehearted respect.
Please.
But a murderer, would you say, Polly? This little man?
Beddingfield.
Ah, yes, I'm, who the hell am I? Oh, yes, de Genneville.
De Genneville?
You know what a person wants, above all. What do you want?
Robert de Genneville?
Peace, isn't it? A little coffin-shaped area in your mind, full of peace where you may be.
Extraordinary. Do you believe in coincidence?
No.
Because this
don't tell me. I believe in peace. Isn't it what we're here for? Isn't it?
This morning...
Another one?
Oh, allow me. Two more. This morning I was preparing some papers for a case. I'm a lawyer, by the way.
Oh, are you? You lucky bastard.
Yes, yes, for a case. And I read your name. Or rather, your brother's name, the Earl.
The Earl, my brother.
It was about inheritance claims, you see.
Well, yes, I'm not entirely surprised.
I thought, well, this passed through my mind. If ever a claim exists that should be pursued, if ever a wrong has been done that ought to be righted in law, then this is that case. Your case.
In law.
Haven't you ever...
thought it?
Well, yes.
Sorry, what are we...
You are surely half heir to the dukedom of Brockleby.
I see.
You're pretending. Oh, with respect, you're pretending this idea has not occurred to you before. You're an intelligent man. Haven't you ever thought, because of some medieval ruling, because of what? 2 hours difference between you and your brother, that he is entitled to... Well, I mean, what does he own?
Birmingham, mainly.
2 hours?
What do you say?
Though the word dispute is not one I would necessarily wish to introduce between brothers...
You think I've got a case?
I wouldn't waste your time if I didn't. And it would be an honour to stand for you in what is, after all, only a quest for common justice. Another one?
Was Beddingfield doing well?
No, evidently not.
He'd seen better days, had he?
He'd been in trouble. Sharp practice.
Ah, yes. But you're not interested in him.
He didn't kill Robert. It wasn't the lawyer.
The police are looking for him.
Since when have you respected the police?
You're angry, Polly. You said that.
But my judgment is sound. I know who killed Robert.
Before you sleep, a question. Dearest Polly, if I wasn't such a coward, I would have asked you in person. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, it certainly makes it braver. Apart, I have the courage to ask a question I could not ask when we were together. Polly, could you consider being my wife?
It was his brother who killed him!
My golden rule.
Here we go!
If I've taught you anything, one thing...
I know!
Know yourself, and in this case... Polly!
Good journey up from London, sir? Tedious, uneventful. Room 21, sir, the usual.
Thank you, Trevney.
How are you, sir?
Why complain? And yourself?
The same, sir. Look out for a new night porter, name of Tyrrell. Experienced man. Shanghaied from a hotel in Wolverhampton.
He saw the superiority of your establishment.
We like to think so. You're dining out?
I'm dining here with my lawyer. My brother's here in an hour.
I'll show him up, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Polly?
Nothing broken.
You're right. She could have injured herself.
I mean the cups. The saucers.
Oh, I see.
What did you say to her?
I beg your pardon.
Make a girl faint.
His brother.
Polly, a drink of water.
The way they treat a girl.
Would you mind?
I had a man once.
Thank you. All right?
Yes. I'm sorry I fainted. How very feminine of me.
Oh, for you, Polly, I know the term is automatically a form of self-deprecation, however...
I mean weak-headed, confused. What my mother used to call the vapours. Mm. Yes, incapable of clear sight.
Go on, then.
I know Lord Brocklesby killed Robert. The police are fools. The coroner, unwilling to embarrass them, an open verdict.
Tell me.
Robert believed he was entitled to half the inheritance.
Yes, on account of what Beddingfield, the lawyer, had told him.
Yes.
And Beddingfield was reliable?
Robert wasn't a fool.
Did I suggest that he was?
I cannot do this.
What?
This. I can't do it unless I have your confidence.
Then carry on.
Robert.
James.
Dump, isn't it?
I'm comfortable.
Good. Putting on weight.
Am I?
Tad jowly. Suits you.
Thanks.
How long has it been?
I wanted to see you.
Yes. A sense of haste?
I wanted to see you.
Quite. You wanted to see me. Thrash it out.
I wanted to put a case to you.
You're trembling.
I don't think so.
You look trembly, are you?
I'm all right.
Fire away, then.
There's new evidence. There's new evidence.
Is there?
Yes, there is. I believe that there is.
Good. That's interesting.
My lawyer said so.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Oh, well, in that case...
I want you to look at it.
Now, what am I looking at?
Hmm? My claim to half. Half of things. Half of everything.
Half?
Half. I'm your brother. I'm your twin. I'm your other half.
What's he got? What's your lawyer got?
He says I have a claim to the joint title and... moiety, is that the word?
I think that's the word.
To a moiety of the revenues of the Barony of Genneville.
What's his name?
Beddingfield.
He's a crook. I know him. He's a crook.
My lawyer is a crook.
That's what I'm saying. He's a crook. Where did you meet him?
I'm not telling you that.
It wasn't a chance meeting.
How do you know?
He picked up on you. He's a crook.
That's what you believe.
He used to work for me. I fired him. What about a drink?
No.
Listen, we'll go for a drink.
No.
I'm around this evening.
Tell me about the coroner's court.
I went up there.
Mm.
I had to go. Robert, you see?
Yes.
I got there, freezing cold. I didn't stay at the same hotel.
No. What was it?
The castle.
Quite. And you attended the inquiry?
Yes. Why are they always in old buildings that haven't been decorated for some time? As though they're afraid that some brightness might invade the gloom of peeling paint and unwashed ceilings. Why is that?
Be grateful you aren't a coroner.
The purpose of this inquiry is to ascertain the precise circumstances in which the Honourable Robert de Genneville met his death. That is to say that as well as determining how and when he died, the inquiry will also, as far as it may, attempt to determine whether or not the identity of any person emerges which might assist the police in their own investigations. I am empowered by statute to call and to cross-examine witnesses. But I should remind the public that it is not my purpose in any way to interfere with the police in their own inquiries, which are, of course, still going on.
And it was in the court that you formed your opinion.
What?
You attended for 3 days.
I told you the coroner was a fool.
I see.
And yes, if that's what you're implying, I did form an opinion. I did come to my decision based on what I saw in the court. Yes.
Mr. Tremlett, you are the cashier at the Central Hotel.
Yes, sir.
You were on duty when Mr. de Genneville arrived.
Yes, sir.
That was on the 13th of September, I believe.
Yes, sir, soon after breakfast.
He'd caught the early train up from London.
I presume that, yes.
Did he seem in any way agitated, unhappy when you saw him?
No, sir.
He didn't seem to have anything on his mind.
No, sir.
So you gave him his key, he went up to his room.
Oh, that's right, number 21.
Go on.
At 11 o'clock, a man arrived at the desk. He told me he was Mr. de Genneville's brother, and he went up to Mr. de Genneville's room. He stayed for about an hour, came down. Mr. de Genneville remained in his room, but he took lunch. Then he went out and returned at 7 with a gentleman.
And not his brother this time?
No, sir. A tall, thin-faced man wearing an Inverness cape and a Glengarry cap.
Which is what?
A large cape, tartan, with a raised collar in this case, and the cap, well, obviously partly over the head, but also with ear flaps and a neck cover.
Oh. Did this multi-swathed man give a name?
He said he was Timothy Beddingfield.
My brother laughed at us.
Good.
Why?
We've got him on the run.
Well, how do you make that out? He says we haven't got a chance.
He laughed at us, Robert. He laughed at us precisely because he knows we're right. You never heard the expression, nervous laughter?
I see. You think that's what it was?
I have no doubt, and neither should you. He sees us coming. We are undeniably coming. My guess, he's with his own lawyers right now, a firm of mavericks known locally, begging them, commanding them to draw up an out-of-court settlement in our favour.
He didn't give that impression.
Of course he didn't. But the laugh tells me a lot. We're home and dry. However...
Yes?
It won't hurt if we add a little to our armoury. The ruling by Edward the Fourth... I have a copy here.
I haven't seen that.
No, don't worry, don't worry. Stipulates that in the case of dispute between twin brothers, the first of those brothers who marries and produces male offspring, to that child goes the whole of the inheritance. Eh? A little bird has told me you are stepping out with somebody.
We haven't talked about marriage.
I think you should.
That wasn't why he asked me to marry him.
No.
Robert believed wrongly that he loved me. I thought I'd made that plain.
Yes.
When you say yes like that...
What?
I feel you're saying no. Robert's brother was in court.
Of course.
Wait. Sitting opposite me, I had a clear view. You see?
And Mr. de Genneville and Mr. Beddingfield left together, Mr. Tremlett.
Yes, sir.
You were on duty all day.
They returned at 7, took dinner in the dining room... And then I served them coffee and brandy in Mr. de Genneville's room.
The atmosphere in the room?
Sir?
When you entered with the drinks?
Yes, sir.
Perfectly normal, amicable?
Yes, sir.
You didn't interrupt an argument? I mean, you would have noticed that.
There was nothing out of the ordinary, just two gentlemen having after-dinner drinks.
Did you see Mr. Beddingfield leave? This is very important.
I think so.
You think so? What does that mean?
Yes, it was him.
The funny cape, what was it?
Inverness.
Inverness, that's it. And the cap thing?
Glengarry, sir.
Glengarry hat, there you are. He was wearing them.
Oh, yes.
So he left?
Yes.
You're sure?
At 9:15. I went off duty at 10 o'clock.
And then Tremlett looked at Robert's brother.
He looked at him.
He hesitated. His eyes stopped.
On Lord Brocklesby?
He looked away.
Polly, this is momentous to you.
Wait! Everybody saw him do it.
The court.
And Lord Brocklesby noticed too. Of course he did. The eyes of the court on him.
Oh, who wouldn't be uncomfortable?
I don't think it was like that.
What are you saying?
It was guilt in his eyes.
You're saying you concluded Brocklesby murdered Robert because of this look?
No, he had a motive too. Robert was making a claim on his inheritance, naturally.
It was a weak claim.
What? Well, he didn't know that. He wanted to avoid the outcome of a court case. He killed him.
And when did this happen?
Well, they argued.
You're saying later that night?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Tyrrell, you're night porter at the Castle Hotel, is that right?
Yes, sir.
You were on duty on the night of the 13th of September?
Yes.
Will you give the court your account of what you saw?
I'm on duty after Mr. Tremlett goes off. I'm sitting in my vestibule.
What would you say your main duty is as night porter?
Keeping my eye on the door.
And you were doing this?
Yes.
Your eye was on the door?
Yes.
And what did you see?
A man comes in.
What time was that?
10:15. Chimes just gone.
A man?
He was wearing a funny cap pulled down like pictures of people hunting.
A deer stalker?
Yeah, well, might have been. And his coat, too, pulled up. No, not a coat, like a cloak. And I say to him, good evening, can I help you? He says no. He's on his way up to Mr. de Genneville, room 21. He knows the way. He says he's Mr. de Genneville's lawyer.
Mr. de Genneville's lawyer?
I say, up you go.
How long did he stay?
15 minutes.
Time's just gone for the half. And out he goes.
Did you see his face? Oh, you say his face was covered. Did you see him? Can you see him in court today?
And looked. He looked.
At the Earl of Brocklesby.
The difference between an actual look and a glance, what? A second, half a second? But everybody knew.
What did they know?
The night porter had hesitated when his eyes fell on Brocklesby, yes.
But he said no. He told the coroner that he could not recognise the man who had come late to the hotel as being anyone in court that day. Didn't he? Polly?
I'm telling you. He knew.
Sir? Mr. DeGeneville? I have your breakfast and paper. Sir? Sir? Will I leave it outside, sir, on the tray? Sir?
Pity the maid. Some fresh-faced girl, no doubt, her whole self concentrating on not dropping the tray, fearing her weakness, her clumsiness. And what? Finds herself thrown into a situation she will never forget. In 60 years, she will still occasionally tell the story of the day she found the body.
Are you listening to me?
I am.
You are the Earl of Brocklesby?
Yes.
Brother of the deceased?
Yes.
When did you last see your brother?
When?
Yes.
You mean alive?
Yes, alive.
On the morning of the 13th of September. I arrived at the hotel at about 11 and left about an hour later.
You didn't see your brother later in the day?
No.
Not the afternoon, the evening?
No.
What did you do after you left the hotel?
I stayed in town the whole of the day. I had business.
Arriving home when?
About 11 o'clock in the evening.
Now, I need to ask you about your dispute with your brother. He was claiming, wasn't he, a moiety of your lands and revenues?
There was no case.
But there was a further ruling. Whichever of you first had offspring, then the lands and revenues would pass to that child.
Yes.
Did you know that your brother was planning to marry?
Yes, he told me.
Could you tell us on what terms you parted that morning?
We parted on...
Having argued?
It was fairly warm, yes. My brother had been misled by somewhat over-optimistic advice from a certain lawyer. He was coming into litigation on the strength of an old document he'd never seen. I told him the facts.
How did he receive them?
You could say he was reluctant to listen.
You were twin brothers?
Yes.
Were you close?
As children?
As men?
We grew apart. We were identical. People imagine that that fact binds you to someone for your life. It doesn't. God rest his soul.
So you would say the interview with him ended in animosity?
Not on my side.
On his? On his?
He told me to get out. He said, get out, get out then.
And you didn't go back?
I beg your pardon?
Later in the day, you didn't go back?
No. I told you what I did.
And you can give us no... you can give us no idea as to who might have killed him?
None whatsoever.
You may step down.
Walter.
Thank you.
She's all right now.
I was going to say...
Perfectly all right, as a matter of fact. Thank you.
How's the case?
What? Very good, thank you.
You're cracking it?
Oh, yes. Consider it cracked.
So, I'll go. Any problems?
We'll let you know.
My mother says Friday would be fine.
Friday?
Could I just check my diary?
Don't keep her waiting.
No.
Friday? You look flushed.
Could we get on? Let's reassemble what we have, could we? Could we? Two brothers divided by a fortune. A law case that goes back 500 years. A crooked lawyer of doubtful pedigree who sees his chance to take in a gullible young man whose personal insecurities make him particularly susceptible...
Wait a minute, that isn't it. That's your reading.
I hadn't finished.
I'd heard enough. Beddingfield isn't the problem. I know what the police think.
We have to ask ourselves...
What?
Then where is he?
Mrs. Higgins, you've told us about the night a messenger collected Mr. Beddingfield's trunk with the message that Mr. Beddingfield was catching the train to London.
Yes, sir.
Were you surprised?
At what?
Well, the sudden departure.
No.
Nor the messenger?
No.
Oh, he'd done it before.
Oh, yes. What surprised me now was when I didn't hear. He'll confirm if he wants his letter sent on, like if he's staying a few days. So I... After a week, then I wrote to his hotel. He always stays at the same one in London, but they told me he'd never been there. So I didn't know what to think.
You've no idea where he is, Mrs. Higgins?
None.
The court should know that, notwithstanding police inquiries, neither the messenger who collected Mr. Beddingfield's trunk nor Mr. Beddingfield has yet come forward.
He may have realised he would be a suspect.
Beddingfield?
Yes, and fled. It's been done before. Many innocent people have made themselves look guilty when it's fear that's driven them. What? You're looking at me. He had a police record.
You admit that?
That doesn't mean he... What motive would he have? Why would Beddingfield attack Robert?
Ah. The injuries... I'm sorry, Polly. The injuries inflicted...
Yes, passion. Enormous anger. Two brothers, all the resentment of a lifetime, suddenly... What else... What else could account for what was... For what he did to Robert?
I wasn't expecting to see you again.
I wanted to ask you something, Robert.
What is it, then?
I was going to go away. You know, as I've always done.
Always done?
When we were boys.
What's this?
Boys, you remember?
What in particular?
Your wish to undermine me.
What are you talking about?
The same tune. Always. Sneering. From behind.
You have everything, don't you? What have I got?
What have you got? You've got what the law dictates. That's not fair. That's your tune.
Is it?
Oh, yes. Ever since I was a child, I've had your whining. And I was leaving this morning. I was downstairs. The porter said something, and your expression came into my mind. And then I remembered. Your sneer. Always. Always your face contorted into that sneer. All my life!
James!
No matter how much I achieve, no matter how little you do, always your apparently unbreakable belief that you alone have the secret. Some special understanding denied to me. True. True, isn't it?
No! I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, no more!
More!
Robert, I will have you no more!
Please!
And beat him. Beat him. I can't... I keep seeing him lie there, helpless.
Yes, yes.
Why won't he stop hitting
him? Polly.
They will let that man go.
Let us go into it, Polly. Even if you're right. Let's go into it. Please. The night porter saw a man in a strange cape and hat. The one worn by Beddingfield.
He changed.
You're saying Brocklesby changed into clothes similar to Beddingfield's?
Is that hard? He changed to implicate Beddingfield, of course. Then returned to the hotel, murdered Robert and fled.
Whoever it was, returned to the hotel at 9:15.
Yes.
Well...
What?
Quite simply, Lord Brocklesby has an alibi. He was at dinner.
No.
With friends. You heard him say that. At 11 o'clock he was at home in his castle, 7 miles from Birmingham. Your hatred of the man is understandable.
No, I will not be patronised. I have an intuition, and sometimes, despite the marvellous dictates of reason, because you know reason has its limitations, don't you? I know that is such bad news for you, but I genuinely believe it, and on such occasions we are fools if we do not follow our intuitions. We are blind, blinded by reason.
Then you go alone, Polly, my friend. You go alone, on a sea of your own choosing. The Atlantic, is it?
What?
You drop this. A ticket for a sea voyage, is it?
Of course.
A new job, Polly?
I have been offered work in America, as a matter of fact.
Ah.
The San Francisco Chronicle.
Congratulations.
I would have...
Polly, no need of apology. You were summoning the courage to tell Robert, yes?
You think that... That's why I...
You are angry with Robert's brother for taking away the chance of a last meeting.
I see. Oh, thank you very much.
Polly.
Once again, I am your fool.
Never that.
So, what is your view of the events?
I didn't expect to see you again.
I don't suppose you did.
I would offer you a drink, but by the look of things, you've already been at it. What is it?
I've come to address your dismissive manner.
Pardon?
What was it you said?
I thought I'd said goodbye.
Oh, you did. You made it clear.
I meant to.
The case is over. Is that what he said, your brother?
I was convinced. You wasted my time.
We had a case.
We did not have a case. Now, if you wouldn't mind leaving.
No, well, I haven't finished.
I've finished.
I am dismissed.
Oh, what is it? Your fee? For what?
I'm owed.
I don't think so.
I haven't finished. The aristocratic manner, can you believe, that some of us find it rather irritating.
This is nothing to do with that. I took you on. You misled me. I have nothing. Worse than nothing. Now I cannot approach my brother with any claim at all.
Yes. What about my reputation?
Oh, please.
No, does that surprise you?
You have no reputation. Something else my brother told me.
No reputation.
Would you get out?
So according to you, I have no interest to protect.
No. Laughable. Get out, Benny.
No. I think I'll keep what's mine.
What's that?
Your silence.
You're saying the police are right?
Yes. No mystery, for once. Our last case. Quite straightforward.
When they find Beddingfield...
They'll prosecute and convict. Had Robert lived, I've been wondering... It's none of my business. What might you have said to him?
I don't know.
Imagine he was here, Polly.
I would say... Robert, I have something to tell you.
Yes?
I'm afraid I don't love you, and because I don't want to hurt you, it's best if you know. I don't seem to be interested in marriage, and I wish to continue my career as a journalist, so...
Tell him about the work in America.
He doesn't have to know that.
Oh, yes, he does.
And I must tell you that I have been offered work in America, and that...
And that it's a good job, of which you are rightly proud. Tell him.
I'm quite pleased.
So now, tell him when you're leaving.
Next week.
Ah.
I would have told you.
Yes. And now you have told me, for which I thank you.
I must go.
Yes.
I don't know what to say.
Well,
I'll write to you.
Yes, that's it. We'll keep in touch.
But I don't know where you live.
Write to me here.
Here?
The ABC, Strand, London. My post restaurant.
All right.
What?
It doesn't matter.
No, it probably doesn't.
May I kiss you?
Is that...
It's perfectly normal.
Oh, well, in that case...
Goodbye.
And thank you.
What for?
The cakes, the tea.
Ah, yes.
And friendship.
She cut me fingers off.
I beg your pardon?
Delivering tea. I'm a table wiper. The manageress would reckon as I was getting above myself. You looked a bit down. Your friend gone off?
Yes, she has.
Will she be back?
No. No, she won't be back.
Case all sorted out?
Not exactly.
What then?
I lied to her. There was a question. That lawyer, you remember?
The slippery one. Where's he gone to?
He's buried. In the de Genneville family vault, I should think. He has had greatness thrust upon him.
Not on the run, then?
No, his running days are over.
So what happened?
The porter at the hotel saw Beddingfield with de Genneville. He said they took dinner together and afterwards went up to de Genneville's room.
The night porter saw him leave, didn't he?
Did he? He saw a man in some ludicrous tartan outfit which all but covered his features. It's not Beddingfield. During the inquiry, this night porter looked quizzically at Lord Brocklesby. Why? Because he reminded him of someone, of the man he had seen leaving the hotel. But it wasn't Lord Brocklesby.
Brandy, Beddingfield.
I've had enough.
Yes, I think you have. You know something, you know what I detest more than anything.
What's that?
Lawyers. They are truly the lowest animal crawling on its belly through the dust, don't you think?
Couldn't agree more.
I mean, take you...
Couldn't agree more.
On the strength of worthless promises, you have fleeced me blind, and if I didn't say enough, you would still be sucking my blood. That's what lawyers are, a species of parasite. That's what you are. You know what one has to do with creatures like you?
What?
Crush them. Wipe their disgusting lives from the face of the earth. What do you think about that, Beddingfield?
Yeah, well, I'd better go.
No, no, you're staying.
No. Please!
He dressed the battered corpse in his own evening clothes, then put on the dead lawyer's clothes, the cape, the hat, and left the hotel. It disappeared.
He came back later?
Yes, again in the lawyer's clothes.
Why?
Well, to check the scene, I don't know why. But then, collected Beddingfield's trunk from his landlady's house...
And caught the train to London.
I doubt it. He's probably on the continent.
And your friend?
Polly.
What does she think?
She thinks she has made peace with the dead.
Soft-hearted, aren't you? Which is no vice... I'll see if I can't rustle up some lemon sponge, shall I? How's that sound?
Very welcome.
And the bowling?
Let's start with the lemon sponge, shall we?
That was the de Genneville peerage from the Tea House Detective, in which you heard Bernard Hepton as the man in the corner. Also featured were Suzanne Burden, Michael Maloney, Ruth Sillers, Cameron Stewart, Michael Cochrane, Stephen Thorne and Eve Karpf. The producer was John Taylor.